Give him a hand clap and a shout this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thankful to the Lord this morning. He's so good to us. He is good. While you're standing, Mark chapter 5. I'll read just a few verses right here. And I'll let you be seated. Mark chapter 5. Familiar stories in this chapter of great faith and God moving. In verse 22, it said, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell down at his feet." It's a great place to fall, at the feet of the Lord. "He besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now, we know, if you've read this chapter before, and I'm sure you have, that between this encounter with Jesus and him following this ruler to his house, we run into the woman with an issue of blood who touches the hem of his garment. She's made whole. There's a little interlude there, and it slows down the miracle process for Jairus. I need you to come to my house, Lord. In verse 35, as Jesus is concluding his talk with the woman that had the issue of blood, while he's speaking, it says, "There comes one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And so I know, listen, God can do anything. And so I want to teach for a while and keep this thought in our mind. Keep believing. We want to keep believing. Let's pray together right now. Precious Lord, we love you, honor you, thank you for your presence, for what you do. God, we just bless you in this house today. And Lord, I pray you'll open our hearts to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Encourage our faith. Strengthen us today. God, we want to be better. Lord, and we want to hang on to the promises. And Lord, we just ask you to help us today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated today. Keep believing. Glory to God. You can be seated. God bless you today. Oh, man, keep believing. I love this story. It's one of the first stories of faith that really grabbed my attention when I first got in the church. I just remember reading over this and thinking how this man must have felt as he just wanted an answer. He wanted a miracle. But on the way to that miracle, there was a crowd, there was a distraction, there was a hindrance, if you will, in his mind. But it doesn't matter what kind of delay we think we see, the Lord's going to do what he said he would do. And so we have to remember that in the middle of the process of our prayer, when we pray, when we give this thing to God, when it's so dear to our heart and we're like, Lord, you're the only answer. I've got to have you come to my house. You've got to touch my daughter. She's got to have your hands laid on her. She's got to be healed, and you can do this. Would you go? And then, Jesus, let's go. I'll go with you. And so it doesn't matter. From that point on, we must keep believing. Because there's always going to be something that we see that we believe this is going to stop what I need. This is going to hinder my miracle. This is going to detour the blessing that I need God to give me. Something, what I see right now, it's got to move. But he couldn't move that crowd. It said they were all around Jesus, trying to touch him, trying to get his attention, trying to talk to him. And then here comes this woman who does stop him. touches the hem of his garment. He feels the virtue flow out. He's going to engage with her. He's not going to just leave her sitting high and dry. He said, I'm going to turn around and let her know your faith has made you whole. And he's talking with her. And while he's pronouncing this, and maybe even Jairus is now a little encouraged because, if that can happen just by her touching him, I know that when he gets home and touches my daughter, she's going to be all right. And he gives a tap on the shoulder. Hey, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble God anymore. Don't be talking about it. There's no sense in praying about it. Just leave the master alone. Accept your circumstances. Let's go on home. Put your mourning garments on and start throwing ashes on your head. And let's have a funeral and let's bury your daughter. And let's just go and accept what's happening now. But Jesus heard the word that was spoken. And he said, don't be afraid. Only believe. You know, we make a big statement sometimes because we know that faith without works is dead. Completely true. There are some times when Jesus said only believe, he didn't mean, okay, you just sit here and think good thoughts. What Jesus was saying is like, do you still want to do this? Do you still, what I need you to do is push out what you just heard and only believe. I need doubt to go. I need fear to go. And I need you to believe that what you started, I'll finish. That what you started in faith, I'm going to finish. I'm going to keep walking with you if that's what you want to do. I'm not going to your house by myself. What do you want to do? In other words, Jairus, he's asking you, who will you trust? Will you trust the one that has walked with you this far, or will you believe the words of the people around you saying, don't go any farther, don't keep going, don't keep praying, don't keep seeking, don't keep knocking, it's not going to come to pass, or will you believe the Lord? It was his miracle in the making. From the time he said, Lord, and when he sought him out, he knew that Jesus, he had heard of it somehow. He knew, maybe he had seen a miracle that Jesus had done, but he knew this was the only answer. And so many times we are so sure, Jesus, you are the only answer. And we come to him in honest and earnest faith. But friend, we can't let go of that honest and earnest faith just because something happens that we think there's no way that this was ever anything if this is what happened. You know, there's a lot of people that would start out like this ruler, believing, praying, excited because God's on the way with them. And they would get this kind of news and think there must not be a God. Jairus turned around and said, what is this? You know, you heal this woman, she gets healed. People are, and I asked you first. It's not fair that everybody else is getting their miracle before me. I asked you first. Hey, this woman been seeking 12 years for a miracle, for an answer. And she already had said before she got there, if I can just, she was already having faith before. Jerry, she had prayed before you even got to Jesus. See, we don't know what other people have been going through. You can't you don't weigh it out like that and say, well, God must love them more. God must think more about them, or they're doing something better than me. No, it was just her time. It was just her time. And what Jesus is telling her, telling Jairus when he says, be not afraid, only believe, he's letting you know, I'm not done. I came this far. It's not over. We've got to remember, listen, there's two things you need to remember right here that'll get you through these processes of prayers that are not answered yet. Number one, we must remember that God is faithful. Hey, Moses said, Deuteronomy 7 and 9, he told them, he said, you got to know that the Lord your God, he is God. Man, that's enough right there. He's God. He's the creator. He's the savior. If you were to go and start searching all the titles and the things that God is, man, that would be enough right there. But then he says, he's the faithful God. And when Jairus came by faith to God manifest in the flesh and said, come with me to my house. Lay your hands on my daughter. He was having faith. And man, he went into covenant with the Lord right there. A faith covenant that I believe if you touch her, she'll be healed. I've made this journey. I asked you. I sought you. And I believe that I've had faith and that you'll do this thing. And the Lord said, let's go do it. And so as soon as he said, hey, I've heard the bad news, I know, I heard the news too. I'm telling you that I'm not done. When I say, do you see me walking off? Do you see me turning away? Do you see me putting on funeral garments? No, I'm ready to go and do the miracle. I am faithful who has promised. Listen, God cannot lie. And we need to remember that today. The second thing you need to know is that the word is enough. What he said, don't be afraid, only believe. I don't know how Jairus was acting at that point. I don't know what was going through his mind. But friend, when you hear the master say, don't be afraid, just don't be afraid. The word is enough. Isaiah 55 and 11, the Lord said this. This is about his word. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, your brother can say, don't be afraid. Your mama can say, don't be afraid. But when God says, don't be afraid, man, that's a whole new level of faith being spoken into your life. The Lord, his word is powerful. Nothing he said was just to fill the pages of the book for filler. It was powerful. It meant something. And when we can just remember that God's word tells us, I don't have to be afraid either. This is not just a story about somebody that has no application to our life. I'm telling you today, I'm telling you by the word of the Lord today, that whatever you're going through and you feel like it looks like it's closing in and it looks like things are not working out and things are over, I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Only believe, because God did not walk with you this far just to see you turn around and quit. Don't tell me you started out in faith believing there was going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. Don't tell me you started out in faith believing God was going to bless and use and do great things through you to only turn around at the first. This is the first news he gets that's bad. Are you going to let one negative report stop you from getting the miracle that you sought Jesus for in the first place? I can promise you this, God's not playing with you. He's not fooling with you. He's just not done with you. And sometimes you've got to realize that there's a process from the time I ask to the time the miracle is seen, till I see what God's going to do. And I'm not home yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not where the miracle. I told him to come to my house, but I'm not at my house. And he may not even realize when he said, lay your hands on her that she may live. Maybe he had already prayed a prayer of resurrection. He came seeking resurrection. He thought she was only sick, but he didn't say come home and heal her and make her feel better. He said, come home so she can live. You've had faith you don't even realize yet. You've forgotten some of the faith that you had in the beginning. You forgot some of the things you spoke by faith in the beginning. And just because someone else came in and spoke something negative or something bad happened or it got worse, that it's over. But it ain't over. We just got to keep on believing and serving the Lord. God's going to come through. Every step that they were taking was a step toward the miraculous. They were just a little bit closer with every inch, with every mile. They were just a little bit closer to Jairus seeing what Jesus could really do. Man, you're so close. Oh, we quit so close sometimes. We stop so close sometimes. We get right up to it. And then we turn around and we bail out and we throw in the towel and we give up. But that's not what God wants us to do. His word is enough. God is faithful and his word's enough. It doesn't matter. There's not a circumstance so desperate, so dire, so final that his word cannot break it. Jesus was not worried about the severity of the situation because he knew who he was. It was no different than when he got to the tomb of Lazarus and they kept saying, if you'd have been here when he was breathing, he would still be alive today. You know, like Jesus needed a little jump start. I don't need a jump start. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'll jump start you. I don't need any help. I don't need a little kick. He don't have to be just hanging on for me to do something. I can come in when he is dead, completely dead, 4 days dead, stinking. Everybody give up. Everybody said, this is how it is, kind of dead, and still resurrect him. And it doesn't matter the opinions of everybody else of your situation. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about your seeking God. Man, listen, Jesus is going to do what he's going to do, and I trust him to be faithful to his word. That's why he told us in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I know, hey, we've heard this, quoted this, we memorized it, and sometimes we feel like it just frustrates us, but there is no profit for us in the promises of God if we don't have faith in the promises of God. As powerful as that scripture is, it will not accomplish anything in your life if you don't have faith in it. Yeah. You've got to activate that belief. You've got to keep on trusting and believing. That's what in the writer in Hebrews said is, Hebrews 4:1-2. He said, let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any one of us should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. So the word of God was preached to us as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in those that heard it. If you can't believe what Jesus is saying, hey, it won't matter. As powerful as his word is, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and what he says goes. But it will never benefit you and I. It won't benefit the church if we can't have faith in it. If we can't believe that Jesus is going to do what he said he would do. If we can't trust, hey, don't be afraid, just keep believing. Keep believing. That's how, this is us now. This is how we want to do with the Lord. What? Keep believing. I trusted you at the beginning. I think the Lord would go, well, then trust me still. If you trusted me at the beginning, then you got to trust me in the middle. You act like I'm fixing to pull a healing out of my pocket right here. But we're going to take a journey to get to this miracle. And if you trusted me at the beginning, you need to trust me in the middle if you're going to see it happen at the end. God's not done. And he said, as powerful as his word is, even at Lazarus' tomb, he said, did I not say if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? There's a lot of people praying prayers but missing the glory. That's where we get frustrated and we think, well, God must not be listening. Oh, I'm listening, but you ain't believing what you're saying. Well, God ain't lost no power. God ain't lost no authority. And he ain't lost any desire. He can't change his word. He even said in one place that he abideth faithful. Even if we don't believe, he abides faithful because he cannot deny himself. That's who he is. He's the faithful God, and he can't deny himself, but we turn him away. God will never drag you to a miracle. He will never handcuff you and kidnap you into the miraculous. He said, but if you'll ask, if you'll put your voice forth, he said, if you'll seek, if you'll make an effort, if you'll knock, if you'll do something about your faith, I'll answer. You'll find it. I'll answer. You'll get what you're looking for. But when faith is gone, that's why, like the body without the spirit is dead. He said, so faith without works is dead. And we can hear the life-giving, life-transforming, life-saving gospel, and nothing happened. That's why people can sit in a church and preach. The Bible says by the foolishness of preaching, God saves people. And yet people leave unsaved every week because they don't believe what they heard. Because the gospel will not profit if it is not mixed with faith. You cannot stop believing in the word and the promises of God. When Jesus says, be not afraid, only believe. Listen, when it seems like hope is gone, then believe. When it seems like you're not going to get an answer, believe. Every time, whenever you are headed toward the miraculous, the choice to believe and see the miraculous will almost always be accompanied by the option to fear and surrender. It was right there. He was happy that they had started moving again. All right, this woman got her miracle. Let's keep going. Let's get going. To only get this bad news that stopped them in their tracks for just a second, then Jesus had to look at him and said, hey, I heard that. Don't ever think Jesus doesn't know when there's opposition coming against your faith. He knew because faith comes by hearing, positive faith and negative faith. If Jairus just chooses to believe the report, it's true. But the facts are never greater than faith. Faith can always change the fact. Listen, it can always alter the facts. And so it doesn't matter how final it looks. It doesn't matter how certain you are. If they had got, listen, they're going to get to the house. Jairus is going to see his dead daughter. It doesn't matter what you see and how final it is. If you will have faith, Jesus can change it. He can turn it around. And so the choice to believe and see the miraculous is always going to be accompanied by this option to give in to fear, to quit, to throw in the towel, to stop believing, to walk away. But that's not us, because we are not of them that draw back. We don't draw back, he said, but we believed unto the saving of the soul. You know what that means? That's the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. He said, we're the ones, like Paul said, I have fought, I have finished, and I have kept the faith. When I was taking those lumps, I was keeping the faith. When I was shipwrecked, I was keeping the faith. With every stripe they put on my back, I was keeping the faith. When they stoned me and left me for dead, I was keeping the faith. And because I could keep the faith, nothing could stop me from finishing my course. And when you'll keep the faith, you'll stay on course to the miraculous. You'll stay on the course to your answer. Whatever you've been praying for, just keep believing. Don't let something that's, but the doctor said and the lawyer said and I saw it with my own eyes. So what? It don't matter, because Jesus has the authority in his word to change it. Jesus has the power to change it if we can have faith. We've got to believe the word that was spoken and not be afraid to trust the word. We don't want to believe the world over the word. We want to trust God. You know, there's a story in 1 Kings about there is a widow and her son, and it's a great famine, and it's in the time of the days of Elijah, and she knows, she is certain, she's not stupid. You know, she can look around. She sees the condition of the world. She's looked in her cupboard. There's nothing there. Her bank account is empty. She has a little bit of meal and a little cruse of oil. She has enough for one last little cake for her and her son. And she knows this is going to be the last meal that we will eat. We're going to eat this and die. But God sent Elijah to this woman. And he said, he told Elijah, he said, I'm going to send you to this widow woman. I've commanded her there. She don't even know this, but she's there so she can sustain you. She's just got a little bit of meal and a little cruse of oil. She ain't even got, she's ready to die. But I've already ordained this. I've commanded. He said, but what she needs, Elijah, she needs somebody to come and speak a word of faith. Now, even though the Lord has put her there in his path for a reason, there's still got to be a transaction of faith, or Elijah's going to have to find somewhere else to eat. Because she doesn't have to do what Elijah said, but here's what happened. Elijah sees her, and then he says unto her, fear not. Now, I don't believe she's afraid of death. She's already accepted she's going to die. She knows this is the last meal we're going to eat, so I don't think it's that. I think what he's telling her, he said, don't be afraid of what I'm about to tell you. Don't be afraid that if you do what I command right now, that things are going to be better. And he said, you go and do what you, as you said you were going to do. Go make that cake. Go do it. But before you fix it as a last supper, he said, feed me. Make me a little cake first. Bring it to me. And then after that, make for your son. Now, she's already knowing, I don't have enough but for me and my son. But he said, if you'll make for me first, I'll eat and you'll eat. And guess what? It worked out just like he said. He said, if we can get this transaction of faith to work right here, if you can just not be afraid because you're looking in, you're in dire circumstances, you're sure this is the only way life can turn out. I'm telling you by the word of the Lord that it can be different if you can have faith. And so she does what he said, makes him a cake, he eats. Her and her son eat that day. Probably later on that afternoon, the next day, and the next, until the famine was, the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil did not fail until God sent the rains and brought the famine to an end. It worked. We've got to keep believing because that's what makes us who we are. We are believers. And that what we say? We're believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. That's me. I'm a believer. What do you believe? Isaiah asked, whose report will you believe? You got to make sure when you say you're a believer, who are you believing? Are you believing the world? Are you believing the Lord? Whose report will we believe? And who would the arm of the Lord be revealed? Who's going to believe the report of the Lord? We used to sing that song in church. Whose report shall you believe? And we'd all choir just be, we shall believe the report of the Lord. People just shouting and running and going because, man, we understand and know that these signs shall follow them that believe. Friend, we're going to believe God. That's who we are. We're believers. Hey, I'm a believer now. That didn't work. No, she had a choice to believe and not obey, and she could have died with her son, or she could believe the man of God and live. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in the man of God, he wrote, he said, well, but how can they hear without a preacher? We need preaching. God gave ministry for the perfecting, for the completeness of the saints. So we're not just cast around with every wind of doubt. He said, I'm giving you ministry and people that can bring a word of faith so that you can make it. And so I'm telling you by the authority of God's word and the office he's placed me in, I'm telling you, don't be afraid of what you're seeing right now. Just keep believing. Oh, this is never going to change. Exactly. It will never change if that's all you can see. If all you can think, this is never going to get better, this is never going to change, it'll never be any different, then guess what, honey? You'll get exactly what you're believing. But if you can believe that God can work a miracle, if you can believe that God can make all things new, friend, if you can believe that he is able to restore and renew and revive and resurrect and break chains and heal and deliver, come on, somebody, if I can just keep believing, I know we can get it. I've talked to people this week, and they're telling me about situations, and I can see the finality of it in my eyes. But, hey, it don't matter what I see with my eyes. I know what I see through faith, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above over all that I ask or think. But I've got to keep believing. It's according to the power that works in the church. We've got to keep believing God no matter what. You know, we always tell this story, and we preach from this, and we always preach about this father, because he's the one, you know, mainly that we're dealing with here. But there was a little girl involved who died. And she needed her father to keep believing, or she was going to be buried. Who needs you to be strong and have faith and keep going today? Oh, who needs you to bring the miracle home? Don't tell me you're praying yesterday and giving up on me today. Come on, somebody. She needed somebody to keep going. No doubt he probably told her, darling, just hang on. I'm going to get Jesus. You just hang on. And she's laying there waiting on her daddy to get back home. And she may not even realize when she slipped off and is laying there, maybe heading off into eternity, wondering where and when her daddy's going to get back home. How many people are asleep right now needing you and me to keep believing? Because we prayed 5 years ago, but ain't nothing happened yet. But are you going to keep believing? Maybe it's been 10 years ago, but are you going to keep believing? Somebody is falling asleep, but they're waiting on you to have a little faith. They're waiting on you not to give up. Come on, the Lord's telling, don't give up on those you're praying for. Don't give up on the miracle you've been seeking. Don't quit just because you got a negative report. I'm still able to do it. It may take a journey. There may be some stops along the way. But if you'll just keep believing, I'm telling you, we'll get there. We'll get there. Oh, won't you lift your hands and just love him for a minute? Woo! Some of y'all been ready to pink slip your miracle. You're ready to fire it and get rid of it and throw it in the trash. But I'm telling you that God is still faithful, that promised. And God is still able to do what he said he will do. But I'm wondering today, how many will keep believing? How many is going to keep going? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That little girl needed her daddy. You know, both parents didn't go. I'm sure the mom stayed there watching over that baby and doing everything she could. But when that little girl slipped off and she stopped breathing, that mama, I need daddy to come through. She didn't need to see him walking with his head down by himself. I'm sorry we didn't get here in time. Hey, that ain't never even factored in when you go with Jesus. He might not be there, like the song said, he might not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's going to be there. Friend, listen, like I said, Lazarus, his sisters thought, Jesus, you just didn't get here in time. And the Lord is weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. And I know we say, well, you know, the Jews said, wow, look how he loved them. Man, maybe he was weeping because nobody believes what I can do. He wept over the city, over Jerusalem, because he said, you've missed all the things that belong to your peace. You've missed so much because you wouldn't believe. And maybe he's standing there weeping because still, after all I've done so far, nobody believes. So I'm just going to pray and I'm going to show him one more time. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, it says. Not just he that was dead, but we understand that he that was 4 days dead. He that was rotten. and stinking. No organs working, no blood flowing, nothing. He that was dead was completely restored, completely healed, and he came forth out of the tomb, and they loosed him and let him go, and they had their brother back again. But friend, we've got to keep believing. And guess what happens to this little girl? Jesus gets there, and he's wondering. He's, why are you carrying on? Why are you making such a fuss? She's not dead. She's just sleeping. It's funny, if we could start seeing things through his eyes. Well, they laughed at him. They said, laughed him to scorn. They mocked him because he said that. But whether I have to shake them and wake them up or resurrect them, it's all the same to me. I'm the Lord. And he said the same thing about Lazarus. He's sleeping. And I'm going to go wake him up. And so these people were already, you know, man, they're getting ready to start preparing this body. They're getting ready to take her out to the tomb. And the Lord said, she's just sleeping. Nobody can get it. But so he put those people out. See, he put them out. He put all of them out. And then he took the father and the mother, and they went in where the little girl was at. And then here comes his word again. He says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And this little girl opened her eyes, took that breath, and he presented her. So she was older. She was 12 years old. She was able to get up and walk. She was of age. And everybody was astonished. He said, with great astonishment. Wow. Man, I don't think we get astonished enough. Now, some people say astonishment is bad because we should never be astonished at what God will do. But I'm telling you, if we would hang out, you know how we're not astonished as much as we'd like to be? Because we don't hang on to the end. We stop in the middle because we think this is just how it is. But you know what I like? I like to keep on believing until all of a sudden God goes, bow! And my mind goes, bow! And I'm astonished with great astonishment. Just a few months ago, we were praying for my daughter. Because she had found that mass, that lump, that it was right there. It was there. It was visible. I didn't see because you'd have to, I didn't, my wife had seen it, but I didn't look at it, but I know what she told me, and they saw it, and it was visibly where you could see it sticking out right there. And so we started praying at the beginning. I remember the day my wife called me. I was on my way home, and I was driving, and she told me, and I hung the phone up, and I just started crying. I said, oh, God. Heal my baby, heal my girl. I don't know what this is. And I turned around, came back to the church, and just started praying and believing God. And I just believed God was going to do it. But it was a little while before she went to the doctor. But man, we just kept believing. We sat in that parking lot and believed. And we just believed it was going to be better. It was going to be all right. And woo, we were astonished with great astonishment. Because when she got in there, from the time she left that room where she changed to the time she got in with the doctor, the Lord had removed the mass. He had taken the bruising away that was on her ribs. And the doctor said, I don't see nothing. And she come out. They were almost skipping when they come out of that doctor's office. And I could tell right away, this is good news. Suck, because this is quick. We thought we won't be here for a little bit. This is quick. And nobody's wiping their eyes with tears. They look like nobody's dragging their feet or crying. And so something's like, hey, guess what? And she told us that story. My goodness, we're worshiping, carrying on, just thanking God. Look at what God will do if you'll just keep believing to the end. I'm not going to give up in the middle. You know, how foolish it would have been when she came and told us, oh, guess what? I got this mass, and it's there. You can see it. It's visible. You can see it. It's actually there. And we said, oh, well, that's it. Let's give up. Ain't no sense in praying now. That's when you pray. That's when you believe. That's when you keep going. That's when you hold on. That's when you keep that faith. Listen, I know I've got to hurry because I've got about 4 minutes. But Abraham, He was he's the father of faith, and the Bible says he's the father of us all. You know, he was going to be the father of many nations according to the Lord, and when God made him a promise that he would have a child and that he would have that seed, he was already an old man. But in Romans, Paul wrote about that, and he said that Abraham did not consider his own body, even though he was not weak in faith. If he had a mirror, he's looked in the mirror. Yeah, don't look much like dad material. But he said, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. No matter what he knew biologically could stop what God was going to do miraculously. And there ain't nothing that's happening in your life that God can't change, fix, heal. Come on. There ain't a problem created that God can't deal with. But we've got to stop playing dead. That's what he said. We're not going to play dead. I know I'm 100. I know she's 90. I know. I just know. There ain't no way in the natural. But I know God's able. And you know what? Abraham took that child, when he had that child, he took that child up to the mountain to sacrifice him. And don't you know how hard that was? But he said, the scripture said, but he knew that God was able to raise him even from the dead. So he said, I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to take this 3-day journey. I'm going to the top of that mountain. I'm going to lay him on that thing, and I'm going to sacrifice him, because even if I have to sacrifice him, God can raise him up. He didn't go expecting to lose a son. He was just going to go do and see what God wanted to do. I'm going to go and do what God said to do. So he went all the way. He didn't stop. He didn't say, no, sir, God, I've been walking a day now, but no, sir. I've been looking at my little boy walking beside me, and there's no way Then 2 days, 3 days, none of that time. He said, nope. He said, I'm going to take him all the way up. I'm going to go up, and I'm going to, you know what? Isaac needed Abraham to keep going, because the promise was in Isaac. And so he needed Abraham to keep going. It's hard, Daddy, but I need you to keep going. Isaac didn't understand it, of course. Isaac had no idea, probably till later, the implications of this. But Isaac needed Abraham to keep going, to keep believing, keep trusting God. Because it was on that mountain where Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide. I'm about to lay my son on this altar, and I'm going to take his life, but God will provide. And when he drew that knife back, seconds away, hold on right there, Abraham, because now I know that you'll go all the way. Turn around and look, and there's your sacrifice in the bush. And they caught the ram and made the sacrifice. God provided, Jehovah Jireh. We've got to embrace the promises of God. Darling, come on up to the music, please. And man, we've got to just keep holding on to the promises of God. Hold on. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful that has promised. So if I want my answer, I got to hold fast. I can't waver. Oh, but the doctor called and said this. My job called and said this. Or I just saw such and such, and this is, it's just certain. I saw it. I saw the x-ray. I saw the report. I saw the negative in my bank account. I saw all these things. So what's the use? I'll tell you what the use is. The miraculous comes when you keep believing. And there ain't been a mother or father around that has ever been more happy than that ruler and his wife when their daughter that was dead hopped up off that bed He walked to where they were. And Jairus learned a very valuable lesson that day. You don't let the negative voices decide your outcome. They will if you let them. But I refuse to be afraid. I'm just going to keep believing. Let's stand together this morning. Father, we praise you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Always true. Always with us. Always looking out for us. Lord God, today help us to keep walking, to keep trusting, to keep believing, to hold fast without wavering. Lord, because we believe and know and are sure today that you're able to do all that you said you would do. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for letting us taste and see that you are good. Now, Lord, let this word stick fast in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.